Bad Motivators.
Shit, yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 304 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am the unhateable Eric Strothers. And with me, as always, is my excellent co-host, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Very hateable. Hey there.
So the where that's coming from is Cruiser said, nobody hates you, Eric. And I'm like, yeah, that is so not true. So not true. But you know what? It's fun to dream.
Well, what's funny in every instance of any of our relationships with our friends, it's always gone. They'll make fun of you in some way. They go, God, I love that dude. Every single time, no matter how, whenever somebody talks about you, they'll say something. Well, man, hey, man. And then they'll, I love that dude. He's a good dude, that Eric Strothers.
So speaking of making fun of me, and this wasn't making fun of us, but Hawes and Steve were talking about us when they were doing their game of the year or their video game. Was it the lead up to? Yeah, the lead up to the video game awards, because they were talking about what their picks would be for like game of the year. Okay. And they were talking about Elden Ring, and he Hawes referred to both of us by only our first names. You know, our friends, Eric and Luke. And I'm like, I wonder who that is. Nobody ever, it's Hawes especially, Eric Struthers and Luke Cruiser.
Yeah.
And I was dumbfounded.
Yeah. Who does he mean? It is weird because every time I like pop in his chat and say something, he's always like, well, Luke Cruiser. I'm like, God, what's with the full name?
I feel like I'm getting scolded by my mom.
I know. God, was this Principal Burkhart?
Well, listen, before we jump into anything else, man, we are going to talk about the video game awards. We are going to do all that. But we're going to talk about what have we been up to gaming-wise. Cruiser and I have been playing some Fortnite together. Mm-hmm. And much like many other things I'm involved in, I'm the weakest link in that. Fortnite's been fun. Stella and I have made a racket of playing, and we have this whole shtick we do. And I had this clip. I should have played the audio from it, but it makes more sense with the video. But somebody's shooting at us. And she's going, there's somebody shooting. I'm like, they're right up ahead. And I end up killing them. And I said, Stella, she said she was sorry for shooting at us and that it'll never happen again. That's what she said. I don't know why that's my thing. I think that's something that carried over from when Trey and Strut and I were playing Red Dead all the time.
Oh.
They said they were sorry.
They said they were sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's funny listening to you two play the game together because like you'll be very like kind and sweet and then you'll say something really like snarky, but like it's so dry. It's just like you're just like, God, I mean, it'd be really cool if I had a teammate over here that would help me, you know, not run away from me. And I'm like, yep.
If we're gonna play this game, we might as well just play single. That's what we should do. Dude. We had a match yesterday it's duos. So how many teams does that mean there are? 50. Yeah. We finished 49.
Nice.
She got killed almost right away because she keeps doing these things where she does the balloons or she jumps from a high spot and ends up getting killed instantly.
Yeah.
And so I run over there to try to save her. And naturally, I end up getting smashed. And one, I almost rage quit yesterday. I said, thank God we're streaming this. Because I was like, it was pretty embarrassing, man. But yeah, check out twitch.tv/mouserat2217 if you want to see that. I even made a clip of it. And it's called The Fall or something like that.
Yeah, I've been trying to share this clip on Twitter. I was telling you about for like, since it happened, for some reason, Twitter just won't allow me to put the video on their thing, but it's of me and Max. Facebook took the video just fine. I don't know. But anyways, so it's of me and Max, and it's with those hammers that everybody hates now, right? Eric, you hate those hammers. I heard you talking about
them. I hate them.
But I don't like them that much anymore. I think people are starting to get sick of them a little bit. But like, they're really good for traveling fast distances, like far distances really fast if you need to. And we were fighting the last two guys at the very end of this match, and Max was running toward him. And I was like, all right, you keep going away, and I'm going to go that tournament. Because I downed one of them, and he was reviving his buddy behind this house. So I was leaping over there to pound him away and hit him with the hammer, and I did it. And then I lost track of the guy that I was fighting. And all of a sudden, Max just comes out of left field with the hammer. And the last thing you see for the Victory Royale thing is the Rock as Black Adam smashing through this metallic pumpkin, dude. It was so metal. I was so proud of him. It was just a cool moment. And then Twitter will let me share it. I'm like, whatever. I give up.
Boo, Twitter, you bastards.
Yeah. But it has been fun. I'll say that for Who Got What, but we've been doing some streaming. I've had a couple issues with this new setup I have. And so I've had to delete some of the VODs because like either there's no sound or like I didn't have my sound on or whatever. And so I finally got that button down today. So we have a fresh stream up of he and I playing for an hour, and we did pretty good. But he did the same thing with Stella, where she kind of just went away. And then like he was like, well, I need some bullets, so I'm going to stay over here. I'm like, no. Come over here. There's more places to find bullets. You will always be able to find bullets. Keep going forward. Don't separate from me. He was like across this big zip line. I was in a grass area. He was in a snow area at this point. Like we were all kinds of separated. I was like, get over here. And of course, he goes, oh, somebody found me. I'm like, I told you to stay over here.
And almost like somebody could have predicted this.
like I'm literally saying the whole time, come over to me. Come over to me. Yeah. Come over to me. Come over to me.
So how's everything else, man? Everything good?
Yeah. Everything's fine. I've been a busy little bee, and I built a computer for the first time.
Pretty neat, man.
And I streamed it, and that was my most successful stream I've had. So thank you to everybody who came by and watched and who continue to keep watching it for some reason in the views. So,
I want to watch it. Yeah, I want to go and check it out. I didn't get to see it live.
Well, it wasn't the complete thing. It was only like 4 hours of it, and it takes me forever to do things, and plus, especially when I was completely nervous the whole time. But there were some really helpful people that came into the chat. Like nobody was a dickhead. I figured somebody'd be like, "Look, what are you doing? Doing this? You're doing that wrong. You're doing this wrong.
Good job, dummy."
Yeah, no, but there was a nice dude from Ireland who kept like giving me nice little hints here and there, and he was like,
"That's cool."
Yeah, and like he was like telling me to like test my motherboard like outside of the case, like to make sure it worked, and I just didn't. I was like, you know, I'd like to believe you, random man on the internet, but I'm afraid my instinct is to believe that you're trolling me somehow, and I'm going to ruin this whole thing because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, and.
Nothing like a good dose of cynicism, man.
Yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
There's a reason that we were born with the ability to be cynical.
And he was like, no. He's like, I'll send you the Linus Tech video that will explain to you exactly what I'm talking about, and they'll show you. And I was like, all right, man from Ireland. I will I'll do this. And
now
I,
where's
I did it,
Linus and, Tech from?
Not Ireland, I don't think.
Well, the reason I ask is because this is a popular point of contention. You know the OS that we all call Linux?
Yes.
Which is like a shortened version of Unix, really, is where it came from. Is actually, if you want to be... Oh, I'm well-actualing myself. It's Linux with an I because it's the guy's German.
Yeah.
And it's Linus was his name. Yeah. Linus.
Yeah.
But anyway, and now you know.
That's where I thought that was that guy's name. I had no idea.
It was his name's Linus.
No, I mean the guy from the Linus Tech. They're like there's like a YouTube series. There's a guy. The guy.
Oh, it might be. I'm just saying, if he's from Germany, then his name's probably Linus.
Mm. But anyways, so I watched it and whatever, and like I got it. I got like to the point where I was. Where I had just gotten put in the CPU cooler and stuff, and I was getting ready to install it into the box itself, but then I cut it off because it's been going too long, and it was like 12:30. I'm like, oh my god, I've been doing this for 4.5 hours. What the hell? And
I'll tell you what, man. Go on. I'm sorry. I'm railroading.
No, but I'm saying as far as streaming goes, as far as like difficult things, that was the most difficult time I've had with a stream. It was the most fun I've had, but also and the most busy stream I've had. But like, I think I had like, I don't know, several hundred messages on that thing. It was crazy.
Nice.
And it got me past the 50 follower threshold and all that stuff.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So anyways, but it was a really good time and it was a fun experience. And honestly, I started to stream the second part of it. And then, but I had everything. I had, it was all casework. And like this case is ginormous. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't think because I kept trying to figure out how I was going to be able to show what I was doing while I was doing it. And I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing to get go with the thing anyways. You know what I mean? Let alone we're about to stream. And I literally looked at the stream. I goes, I can't think. So I have to turn this off. And I turned it off.
Well, that's one of the things, like, so building lightsabers as a, yeah. as an example, because I was thinking about streaming as I work on Ed's lightsaber for him is, yeah. is streaming parts of that. But the longer of a stretch you work on that stuff, the more likely you are to make mistakes. Yeah. And, you know, when you, especially when you're soldering, mm-hmm. because a soldering iron is one of the best tools ever invented, but also the destroyer of everything. It doesn't take much to accidentally ruin a tiny little circuit board
yeah.
that can be difficult to get another one of. So, yeah, you have to be super cautious, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's what I'll really do. What I may do is film myself building it as I build it and then stream that video edited uh-huh. and talk over it in real time.
Okay.
And explain, I'm doing this. Here's what this was about. And that way I can respond to people that are in the chat. Because building lightsabers, since this used to be a Star Wars podcast, is really pretty neat. If anybody's yeah. ever interested in building anything electronic that's small and you really have to keep track of every inch of space because there's... They like the lightsaber building community calls it cram foo because you're trying to cram so much crap into this chassis.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's cool, man. I'm glad that you were able to do that.
Yeah. And that was the main reason why I bought this gigantic case, besides just the need for airflow, was just because I didn't want to be in the cram zone like you are mm-hmm. with your lightsaber. Well, I'm just like, I don't, the idea of having to cram all this stuff inside of a like a regular size tower and like, because even my freaking GPU alone is gigantic. Mm-hmm. And like, it's just, I couldn't imagine trying to fit all that in there and feel comfortable that that big thing was getting enough air.
Yeah.
But like it, yeah, but it's really great because it has a whole like midsection that where like all the wires can go behind it and you can tie it all up. So it's very easy to hide the wires. And it's like, yeah, I'm glad. I definitely made it convenient for myself though, as much as I mm-hmm. could. So.
Well, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm not going to include this under who got what. I'll just tell you. I went to see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra with Stella on Saturday, and it was great, man. It kind of reignited my passion for that music, and it makes me want to do the tribute shows again. Oh. I probably won't because of the sheer amount of work involved is pretty tremendous, man. It's a lot to deal with. And yeah. I get exhausted just thinking about it. But it was really fun. And something that was especially cool, man, and I know he probably never listens to this show, but if he does, I've had him on That's Metal. It's my friend Angus who plays lead guitar with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Mm-hmm. You know, typically, man, we'll get to hang out while he's in town. But since they were lost a year because of COVID, and then when they toured last year, actually they lost 2 years. Is that right? What year was last year? No, they just lost one. They couldn't, like they kept them in bubbles. Not literal bubbles, but you know what I mean. Like yeah. kept them as contained as possible. And like it was apparent, nobody probably thought much about it. But like at the beginning of the show, they come out and they, before the show starts, and they have a couple singers come out and talk to the crowd because what they do is they donate to a charity in every city. They give yeah. $1 from every ticket sold. The people who are there to receive the check and talk about it, it's always sponsored through a radio station. They were at the complete opposite side of the stage. Like they didn't even let them meet together mm. on one side of the stage or the other because they can't afford for anybody to get sick.
Wow.
So you got this multi-million dollar tour with all these moving pieces and you just can't take any chances. So because of that, you know, he knows how much Stella digs it. And mm-hmm. so he made a point. We're at an arena show and he is making a point from the stage to like single her out and point at her.
That's cool.
And stuff and laugh and wave because he does this stupid thing where he puts his arm straight up in the air with his fist. You know, that's like everybody cheer for me. I'm Angus. Yeah. And she'll do it. And it's so cute the way. And they had this thing where these catwalks come down and they walk around above us, and he got right above us and was like hamming it up for her and stuff. It was just so cool, man. And that was like a real gift to me.
Nice.
Stuff like that, the stuff we're interested in, is what's brought my kids and me close. We've really bonded over Star Wars. Henry, I've told you, I've got that picture of him standing between those Last Jedi stand-ups, which I did finally finish. And, you know, we bonded over that. And Stella and I have bonded over this. And it's finding that stuff, that common ground to be close. And that's, you know, that's something that, like, the movies that I like, Star Wars, the Indiana Jones films, just a lot of these things that Henry and I have really bonded over.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, Ghostbusters. You know, all that stuff. And that's great, man. And so that was really fun to have that with Stella. It really was.
My kid's not too into, and my boy's not too into Ghostbusters. I've tried. And he's just, I think he's just a little too creeped out by it.
Really?
Yeah. What it was the first Ghostbusters movie he ever saw was the most recent one.
Uh-huh.
And I think that the one jump scare in that whole movie, like, really, like, got him. He's like, oh, God.
Well, that's the scariest one, honestly, of all of them, I think. Yeah. Because it
comes out of nowhere.
It's a lot more, like, this could be a thing.
Yeah.
There was not nearly the humor built in and campiness.
Yeah. Paul Rudd tried his damnedest. Mm-hmm. He's only one man.
Well, if there's anybody in that movie that's actually a ghost, it's him, because he looks just like he did when he was 25. It's freaking ridiculous.
Where are the bodies, Paul? Where are the bodies you're stealing the life force from?
But anyhow, well, you know what we should just go ahead and do, since we've practically ruined it anyway by talking around the subject? We'll just get to it right here, and that's this noise. Man, that Zill bell. Bing! So good. Cruiser, why don't you tell the people, the good people, what you got?
Well, I mean, I got my computer. That's why, by the way, I got. That's what I built it. I got it. It's there. I'm doing stuff. I've been playing it like crazy. I tell you, I was not ready for the amount of, like, I thought I was, but I was not ready for the amount of size this thing takes up. I'll tell you that much. It's gigantic.
My wife told me that on her wedding
night. Right. I mean, that's good.
Heyo.
That's a good. That's a good problem to have. But
unfortunately, she was talking about my ego.
That's really what I got. I'd say what I really got from it was a casual, nice boost of confidence that I needed. I think I need it because I completed it. It works. There was one small problem with it, and I figured it out. You know, like beyond that, it started up fine. It's been working great, and like. And I know that the whole process has probably gotten a little bit easier over the years to do it and whatnot. And we have all these resources to look up when we have an issue. But, like, it just felt nice to, like, complete something. You know what I mean?
Well, sure, man. I get that. I'll tell you one thing that PC builders have now than, say, I don't know, when's the last time I built a PC? 20 years ago, 15 years ago.
YouTube?
Well, YouTube. But also, like, the standardization of form factors.
Yeah.
Has really improved, because something as simple as, well, I've got this ATX case or this AT case, and but then suddenly, like, you'll find that in this particular case, I got it doesn't have standoffs that are tall enough to adequately hold the motherboard far enough away from the chassis to keep, like, certain components from touching it. Or, oh, surprise, this motherboard was made under the same standard, which slightly changed from when this case was made. So now this hole's in a different place. Sorry. And stuff like that. It got real annoying real fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
you are right, though. They are trying very hard to, like, make much more of a standardized process amongst the components. Yeah. Though there are some videos I've been seeing where people are saying that there's a big change coming with eventually going to happen for PCs, like what they've seen, like what's happened with Apple and stuff. And like they're trying to do like the what is it like Windows is 64-bit, right? That's what it is. So like they're saying that they've pretty much gone past the boundaries of which the small the 64 is holding it in, basically. Like there's a next level coming, and like the way we build PCs will kind of might end up killing the like customizable part of it, because the way they're going to have to build components in the future to like go forward. You see what I'm saying?
I have to look like, into that.
Yeah, like because of like I think a lot of it has to do with how Mac has handled things and with the components they've built and the way they put them in, the way you cannot buy they have to put them in for you. You can't buy them for, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so that's what they're saying. In order for it to become a more standardized thing where they can go on beyond what they are now, they think they're gonna have to like kind of follow Apple's lead on that.
Right.
So I don't know.
Well, that's one of the things that Apple's really done. And this is super nerdy, I know. And if people are like, oh, not for me. Mm-hmm. You've got this thing where all of your interconnection points are what make a computer big. Mm-hmm. And the way you make thin stuff like tablets and so on, are more pieces are permanently connected to other pieces by soldering them in. Mm-hmm. And that means, so you want to add some RAM? I've got bad news. You can't.
Sorry about you.
You want to do this? I've got bad news. You can't. And that, but yeah, that's what happens. So what I got this week, and in a way, it's a very similar thing, and it's this sense of satisfaction of a job well done, because I finished, like I was saying earlier, those Rise of Skywalker stand-ups, and I sent you a picture of it.
Yeah.
And they look baller. Awesome. Yeah. And like I told you the story, that when I got them from the Science Center, they gave them to us because of the 501st. And I had never even done one of the Science Center troops, but I was the only one who wanted them and could get them. Mm-hmm. And so I went and picked them up. The guy told me they'd never been put together right. All the kit and stuff for the lights was just laying in a pile. I took them, left them piled up, got them here. I dismantled the things completely to move from my old house, and there they've sat. Mm-hmm. And I finally started putting them together. There's no instructions. It's nothing but cardboard and interlocking tabs. And the only way to figure it out is to just look at the shape and find what matches.
Yeah.
It's like basically like doing a jigsaw puzzle with the pieces flipped over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it's like. It's nothing but just blank cardboard and you're looking for shapes that match. And I got it all put together. I put the light kits in it. And then, like I said last week, I custom shortened the things.
Yeah.
So that they would fit in normal human size dwellings, like my, they would fit in here, stood up. And when you look at the pictures of it, I mean, if you get real close, listen, I don't have a machine shop where it was cut by hand, but it really came out pretty good.
Yeah.
And I could show you where the angle is on the picture, but when the lights are on, oh my gosh, it looks so good.
Nice.
They really do. And I mean, the problem is though, they're still ginormous.
Yeah.
And like, I would love to put them in my office, like right over there.
Yeah.
The problem is that, dude, this place was built by I don't know who. This room in this basement, you know, parts of the basement were finished. And so there's a door in that wall and there's a door in this wall. All right. Mm-hmm. So walk right across, but they're not in line with each other. The door on that wall over there is a solid, I don't know, 3 feet off of this wall, right?
Yeah.
This one, about like that. So what would be ideal is if they were both the same distance and I could put them there and they would frame that wall and look super rad. But what's not going to happen is what I just said. That's what's not going to happen.
I had to do that. We did the same shit in our basement whenever we redid it, because they did the same thing. Like, they had their like the area over here. I have my TV now. Like, it was like extended, like for some reason, like a foot past where the next wall, where the wall should just continue on. For some reason, it goes out and then down and then down. And I was like, so like, I mean, I get it. It gave us gave you a little bit more cubby space in this back closet, but like, why not just make it that all the way across and have more space in that back section? You know what I mean? And so anyway, so whenever we redid it, I said, well, number one, make that a straight line. That's what I want to do. And the same thing over here. Make this a straight line with a door right there for my spot. We'll be good. Like, none of this weird, weird additional space things you're doing. It's not working.
So seeing all that together made me really happy because, you know, that's one of my favorite memories from when The Last Jedi was in theaters, besides all of the constant discourse online. That was probably one of my favorite things. I'm just kidding. But so I've got a picture of Henry standing in between the two of them when he's like three, doing some crazy kung fu moves or something he's doing. And now those things are in my house and they're put together and they look awesome. And he's a big kid now. I don't know. There's just something very neat about it. Like I said, we've really bonded over Star Wars and stuff like it.
You want to hear something that is kind of, I mean, it kind of pathetic. Like when it comes to dads and like being sentimental about things and like wanting to hang on to everything your kids ever touched and like, you know what I mean? Like stuff like that. And like yesterday, like I deleted the VOD of Max and I playing because my voice wasn't working, but everything else was his voice and the thing. Mm-hmm. Just because I want to make sure I have like, you know, decently clean VODs on my thing, you know? And I deleted it and I didn't like save it or anything. And I felt bad. Like I felt like I had just erased a memory or something.
Yeah.
But like the truth is like, you know, you're not really supposed to be like, streaming every game you play with your kids. You know what I mean? Like, I felt bad, but like at the same time, like that's not what it was about. It was about playing the game with them, you know? Right. It's one of those things. You like had that, like, I felt like really in my soul guilty about it. I was like, what? I felt like I had like left my, like we always talk about like, putting like souls and stuff, animals and stuff, you know, make them feel like they're alive, like you left it behind on a family trip or something. You're too far to go back and get it. That's how I felt.
But no, dude, I get that. I get that. Yeah. I mean, being a dad, that's a big part of what it ends up being about. You know?
Yeah.
And here's the thing to anybody who has kids that are young and you haven't experienced yet, the time is going to fly. Yeah. And I know that you hear it. But what my advice to you is enjoy every moment for what it is. Remember the past fondly, but don't wish it came back in place of what you have now.
Yeah.
Look forward to the future with hope, but don't hang your hopes on that and miss out what you have going on now, because every period of time is there and gone in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
And
Just make sure you're present as much as you can be. That's all you really can do.
Yeah. Which brings me to another thing while we're talking about such things, about being present. Whenever I was at the Trans-Siberian Orchestra show the other day, occasionally, like I ended up taking like 3 photos, the whole thing. And I took about 20 seconds of video of this new vocalist this year. And that was it. But, you know, you see people with their phones out half the time and you know you're probably never, ever going to watch that. Yeah. What you're doing is missing on the experience of it and the grandiosity of it. It's a shame to miss out on that. And I don't know, try to enjoy the moments because the memory of the moments is what's going to matter to you. Enjoying it in the heat of it.
That's one thing, right? Like whenever you go to a Tool show, they don't allow you to have your cameras out at all until the very last song. Mm-hmm. And you can record that last song. Reason I bring that up is because what it did, because I wasn't like excessive about it, but I did make sure I always get like 3 or 4 videos when I go to a show. Like, oh, I love this song. We're here, you know? But like, I never go back and listen to those. And halftime, all you can do is just hear your my stupid ass singing the song, and like that's not what I want to hear. And so like it's just not. And I missed out on it. But I love that. Like Tool was like, no. Turn your fucking phone off. Sit here. Let us rock your face off. Mm-hmm. Enjoy these visuals. You're gonna feel high even if you're not. Like let's just like. Enjoy this ride together.
Right.
And then at the very end, you can do the very 2022 thing and record an entire song that you're never going to watch again. You're going to miss the performance, but enjoy it. You can do that on the last song. Yeah. And it's not like it's truly not like a, we don't want you to share. It's like, and they don't care. They have their whole thing, all their music's on YouTube, and they put it on there. You know what I mean? They don't care. Mm-hmm. It's like they want you to like enjoy it. They want you to experience why you're there. And right. I think that's cool that someone's actually doing that.
Yeah, it is, man. It really is cool. And it is. It's just a shame on what you miss out on. Yeah. And I get the desire, but you aren't. It's like when people take video of my cover band.
Yeah.
With very few exceptions, like you might see it pop up on Facebook, maybe.
Yeah.
But probably not. They take it because that's what people do to occupy their hands. And then it never gets seen again. But luckily, they didn't know how to shut the light off on it. Because, you know, that's what's going to make the difference is when you're in the 30th row of an arena show and the little light on your cell phone's on pointing at a stage. But anyhow, enough about that. Enough about that. Speaking of things that are great. And speaking of video games, since we were just talking about that. First of all, before I jump into the Star Wars news, the Video Game Awards were last week.
Yeah.
Right? And our good friend Haas Burkhart and some other guys, Haas was able to be a streaming partner for it.
Yeah.
And they basically, you know, watched it live and did a commentary on it. But the whole reason I bring that up is the part that matters the most to me is Game of the Year. And Game of the Year was won by Elden Ring.
Yeah.
Not much of a surprise.
Well, I mean, they were ramping up the God of War love all show. Like, they won, like, everything else. And then Elden Ring was like, we get best direction and best Game of the Year.
Yeah. Yeah. They got Game of the Year, got best role-playing game. Got best art direction. But God of War Ragnarok got the score, right?
Yeah, actor. Like I think they won at least 10 awards.
Audio design.
Yeah.
But here's interestingly enough, too, from got studio and / game direction, the... for Elden Ring specifically.
Yeah.
But anyhow, so that's neat. But the reason I bring up the video games is because we got gameplay trailer, a gameplay trailer, let me speak English, for Jedi Survivor.
Yes.
And it's pretty neat.
It is.
The release date is March 17th. You can pre-order it now on all the platforms. The deluxe edition features extra cosmetic things, and it's $20 or more than the other one, something nice. Like that. It looks really cool. There's a lot of cool stuff. There's battle droids. There's all that. Cal Kestis looks like he's grown up quite a bit. He's got a rugged handsomeness about him that's penetrating eyes and makes me feel some kind of way.
Well, I'm just glad BD-1's still there because all it really matters to me. So,
yeah.
In the end, I think whenever that game comes out, like the day it comes out, I think I'm gonna like do a stream in the day of me finally building my BD-1 Lego Lego figure I have, and then streaming the game later that night.
I do think that I'm going to stream this in its entirety.
Yeah.
Which will be tough, you know, because a lot of times on a real story-heavy game, I don't want to talk my way through it.
Yeah.
I want to watch it and experience it. But at the same time, I've sort of worked myself into a corner where what I do now is stream video games. So we'll see. But man, I'm real stoked on this. What platform do you think you're going to buy that on? Is everything pretty much going to be PC from here on out, you think?
You know, I haven't really decided on that. There's a lot of things about just having a console where everything's just there and it's like you don't have to do anything. Like it's pretty nice, you know? But at the same time, like I didn't just build this computer to be a gaming PC. Like, I mean, I'm glad that I could do that with it, but I built it also just to be a workhouse processing machine, like do video and audio and stuff like that too.
Right.
Without waiting 6 hours for a heavy video to render. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if with any luck, I've not tested it yet. I'll get it tested this week, see how long it takes to render down one of our videos so I can compare it to how long it takes with the other one I was doing. But like, the other way I was doing was taking about 2.5 hours to render our our bullshit YouTube videos here down, right? And like without much going on, I would try to add things and it would add like 2 more hours of render time to it. It's like, well, I'm not doing that. So yeah. I'm hoping with this behemoth I built here that it should be able to process a fairly effects heavy render in a decent time. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm looking for. But you're right though. There is that. But I have Xbox chat on here so I can play that. And I downloaded Fortnite on here, Rocket League and like Warzone, some other games that I play. And I have Game Pass on here too, which is great.
Right.
And there are a couple games on here that you can't get on the Xbox. Like there's a couple PlayStation only games. They're actually on the Microsoft
PC Game Pass.
Yeah, which is funny considering what's going on with them right now. You know what I mean?
We'll get to that in a second too.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this then, for people who are interested, how does Game Pass for PC work? Like how do you install the games? How do you download them?
I mean, there's a literal Xbox Game Pass app, basically. It's just the Xbox app now. And it allows you to, Like most of the games you play on console, you can play on your PC, like most of them through the Game Pass. But there are a few exclusive to Game Pass for PC, like I said earlier. So it's pretty much the exact same way. It's just like downloading any application on your computer. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like I think it downloaded to my desktop, so I can just click it, and then I don't have to necessarily open up the Xbox app to play.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, I need a PC, a gaming PC, pretty badly. And I need another Xbox, a Series X, to replace my aging one X upstairs. So listen, people, I need a wealthy benefactor to come through for me. Well, it's Christmas time. Come on.
Yeah. And also, I mean, the benefit of having a PC is that PlayStation's committing to putting a lot more of their games on PC now. So like you'll get both ends of the spectrum, you know what I mean? So like they have the original Last of Us on PC now, which they should have a long time ago. It's been forever. The first God of War before Ragnarok came out, and Days Gone, which had that who played Darth Maul in the Clone Wars? I wish I forget his name.
Sam Witwer.
Sam, yeah, he's the main character in that game too. Days Gone. Which didn't get super great reviews and was on when it came out on PlayStation 4, but now it's on PC. People are like raving about it. So,
oh, neat.
That game Stray, the cat game that everybody was talking about, that was only on PlayStation. That's on PC as well. And there's just a bunch of stuff. It's just cool to be able to do a little cross platforming on the PC.
Yeah. So what's going on with the whole Microsoft acquisition of Activision?
Well, from what I understand, PlayStation heads like went to the European Union or something like that, like some fair business thing, whatever, and was saying that basically if Xbox buys, if Microsoft buys Activision, then they're going to fundamentally begin to kill off all competition in gaming, right? And then so they're trying desperately to get the acquisition blocked in Europe, and therefore may, you know, be a whole ordeal, right? But Phil Spencer, the head of is he the head of Xbox or is head of Microsoft? Okay, I think it's just Xbox, right?
Dude, I don't know.
I think it is. No idea. I'm bad at some of those details, but I think it's Xbox boss Phil Spencer. He said that PlayStation's trying to they're trying to grow by making Xbox smaller. They're trying to do by doing this.
Gotcha.
And I guess there's a whole bunch of big game developers and companies and studios that are like, no, this is not a big deal at all. There's way more out there to play than Activision titles. And,
right.
I mean, because if you think about it, like, yes, it is what they did get was they got big money making games, right? But all of those money making things are off of the extra purchases, like Candy Crush. When they bought Blizzard and stuff like that, when Activision bought them, they like that was all that. Like that's what Microsoft's trying to get their hands on. Like Candy Crush probably makes way more money than Call of Duty. You know what I mean?
Right.
But Call of Duty is all about, you know, selling you skins, blueprints, and everything else. That's why all those free to play games are. You know, Fortnite being a prime example.
Right.
And, you know, probably a blueprint for a lot of people, Fortnite. But because Fortnite's been around for a lot longer than a lot of these games now, as far as the online free game goes. So it just seems like to me that, you know, Phil Spencer has said they have no intention ever to not having Call of Duty playable on the PlayStation. Like it would be like, it's so stupid. Like it does not behoove them to keep that off of their platform. It would make them too much money to have it go to PlayStation. You know what I mean?
Right. But I think what PlayStation's real problem is the loss of exclusivity.
Yeah.
That, you know, one of the things they rely on selling their consoles isn't necessarily the fact that, well, if it's available, they're not going to just make it, like you said, available on Xbox at this point because they want to sell the titles, right? Yeah. But PlayStation, but Sony needs, like Call of Duty has been their big thing. Is that correct?
Well, it's been like they've had a lot of like some exclusives, like slightly earlier access to like a beta, or like it's always been kind of small stuff, nothing too major to me. But they did have a lot of partnerships with Activision and stuff. So basically, what they're saying is they don't want to have to do business with their direct competitor. That's what they're saying. Like, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. that kind of business. You know, they're willing to make crossplay work and stuff like that, but they don't want to, be buying games from Microsoft.
One thing that I see in this argument that I find interesting, because you're not, I feel like this would be a rare thing to hear. Mm-hmm. This is Xbox's or Microsoft's argument. Mm-hmm. It says, quote, Sony has more exclusive games than Microsoft, many of which are better quality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty wild that they admit it. So, I mean, here's the deal. And this surprises me because usually behavior like that is what you get from companies who are in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you get from companies who are having a hard time financially. And I can't imagine that PlayStation is. I mean, god dang, their consoles sell out constantly. And, you know, it's been very difficult to get one.
But I wonder if that was more supply chain than actual demand, you know?
Well, like I mean, that very well could be. But when all the ones you're making are selling,
yeah,
there's there's something to be said for that. But yeah, apparently,
I mean, and PlayStation's exclusive have been better forever. Mm-hmm. Like it's just how it works. Like they have the best single player games. Like traditionally, like
well, and when I hear about like The Last of Us,
yeah,
that makes me want to get a PlayStation. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to because I can't afford it, but it does make me want to get one.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
if they had a Star Wars game that was PlayStation exclusive, I'd probably buy a PlayStation.
Yeah, I think the truth of the matter is that PlayStation matters a lot more to Sony than Xbox does to Microsoft. You know what I mean? Like
right.
like overall, like right. Microsoft is the second biggest company in the world mm-hmm. next to Apple. So
right. Yeah, because I mean Microsoft has got a whole bunch of other side. It's like Yamaha.
Yeah.
Being concerned about their pianos.
Yeah.
It's like, well, they're probably making more money on their motorcycles and their pro audio stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. Those instruments aren't cheap, man. That I have a Yamaha alto saxophone. That mama was not cheap.
Yeah, but I'm talking about just in sheer quantity.
Yeah, yeah.
What they're selling. Because I can tell you right now, at where I work, I've got two very expensive Yamaha mixing consoles and several speakers hung in my ceiling and amplifiers that are all made by them.
Yeah.
The amplifiers and speakers are branded as Nexo, but that's the branch of Yamaha.
It is crazy how that works, right? Like how they can put such a branded name on something, but it's like such a varying range of products. Right. It's just like, how can the guys that make dirt bikes also make a saxophone? How's that work?
Well, it's funny too, because the Yamaha logo, I don't know what it looks like right now, but for the longest time it was tuning forks arranged in like a circle, like all crossed over. That's what their logo was on their bikes. That's awesome. Yeah. But anyway, blobity blah blah.
No, that's pretty cool though.
So check this noise out, man. We all probably already are keen on this, but that Rogue Squadron we know has been squashed, or it's for all practical purposes dead in the water. All right.
Yeah.
And there's instantly were all these rumors, because the Hollywood Reporter talked about how the third Wonder Woman movie had been scrapped.
Yep.
And after that, all of these rumors started going around. And on a podcast called The Hot Mike Podcast, with nobody named Mike on it for Miles, which is just a shame because it's M-I-C. But anyway, it... a guy on there, he was saying that he had heard things about Patty Jenkins. Okay. And listen, I'm not going to repeat them. Some of them were pretty unkind. But why you can't say these things without saying it like you say it, I guess, is a thing. But that they had heard that the Wonder Woman script was a mess. And they heard that the Rogue Squadron thing was a mess. And that she's difficult to deal with.
You know what they do? You know what I think they need to do? They need to quit putting the name Rogue in front of their titles. They always seem to have trouble.
Yeah.
they as you will, go rogue usually.
Yes. Well, and that's a shame though, because
it is a rebellion after all.
Rebellions are built on hope.
And writing incomplete scripts.
And money, yeah. So it's a shame, though, because anything that takes a Star Wars movie off the table, that's a bummer. Because one thing we've all been hoping for is a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
And I have loved Star Wars TV. I have no complaints about that.
Yeah.
But when I think about some of my best memories of the last several years, once Star Wars was back, baby.
Yeah.
Some of my best memories, some of my best moments are going to the movies with people. Whether it's, you know, when you and Dallas came over and we went to go see it with Metzi, and, you know, Metzi and I being in line to, or, you know, going in at the very first showing and doing two and three in a row. And going back over and over. And I was reminiscing about one of the times Metz and I had the entire theater to ourselves on at least one occasion for The Force Awakens. Yeah. But one time I had the whole theater to myself. And this is in the IMAX box. It had snowed really hard. And Luke and I had tickets to go again that night. And he didn't want to get out in the snow, which was probably wise. It was pretty bad. But I called the theater and they have this thing about no refunds, but they'll refund it. In cases like that. But, or at least, you know, like give you credit on your account. Because it's not like I'm not going to buy tickets again. But I went ahead and drove over there because they're like, no, we don't close. If we're open, we're staying open until closing time. And so when I got over there, I was the only one in the theater. And it was awesome. Of course, I still stayed in the seat that I liked. But I did take off all my clothes.
Yeah.
But what was funny is at some point way deep in the movie, two people walked in.
But that was awkward.
Well,
you're naked.
I didn't really have my clothes off, but I did have my dick out. But they sat way down front, and it was a 3D screening.
Oh.
And so I just tilted my head just right to where the bottom frame of the 3D glasses blocked that they were even there. And then I was by myself again. Like,
I'm back in dreamland, baby. Yep. I'll never forget the time I fell asleep watching The Last Jedi for like the fourth or fifth time. That was cool. Waking up and nobody had bothered to wake me up, and they'd probably been over 30 minutes and just sitting there sleeping.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. When you said you fell asleep watching The Last Jedi for the fourth or fifth time, does it mean it was the fourth or fifth time you had watched it and then asleep? Or was the fourth or fifth time you had fallen asleep whilst watching this particular title?
It was like the fourth or fifth time I'd seen the movie, and I had gone to like a 10 o'clock showing. Mm-hmm. And and I don't sleep well anyways. So, but you put me in front of a movie screen, like there's a good chance if I had a bad night's sleep before, I'm going to fall asleep, whatever the hell. You know what? That became extremely apparent to me once I became a dad. I don't understand. All of a sudden, I just started falling asleep during movies. I think it's because like, I think sometimes you might take like little cat naps whenever kids are watching a movie, whenever you're like...
Dude, I fell asleep tonight. We got done with dinner, watching TV, and the next thing I do, I wake up and what episode's this? We were watching King of the Hill.
Yeah.
And I get it. I get it. Part of the problem is I stay up until 2.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
Yeah, I got to quit doing that. Of course, I'm going to do it tonight. I know. So got to edit this show so that you people can get this sweet, sweet content. Mm-hmm. You lucky turds. Oh. Here it comes. Congratulations. And you're welcome.
That was one last thing about Rogue Squadron. That's one of the things that like I was least excited for. Uh-huh. Like, and not because I didn't know it was worth a movie. Like I feel like it would have been a better TV show. Like if they had combined the idea that they had for the now probably defunct Gina Carano show and everything mm-hmm. else, and like kind of combine that idea to like really put the resources into making an awesome X-Wing TV show could be really cool. And it could be more in line with what we've been used to in the TV shows. So like a movie probably would have worked fine, but you know, I just didn't really care. I when they announced, I was like, I don't care.
I mean, and that's tough because there's been a lot. Of course, here's the thing I will say though. When they've announced certain things like Bad Batch, I'm like, whatevs. And then I loved it. They announced Andor, and I'm like, I'm sure it'll be good, but whatevs.
Yeah, that was my biggest one. My biggest surprise was Andor, because mm-hmm. I had written that off as soon as they announced it, because I just was like, I don't know, man. Like, what are they gonna do? And then Tony Gilroy once again is like, well, I don't care about Star Wars. I'll make a great movie, and we're like, oh, okay, great, or great show, and then we'll add Star Wars elements to it and figure it out.
Now, however, on the flip side of that same coin is that when they announced Book of Boba Fett, I'm like, that's going to be dope, probably.
Yeah.
It
was all right. That's I was watching somebody today talking about how like they're like the Mandalorian, because like somebody who was a fan of like Star Wars like early on, you know, like grew up with it, you know. I think they're up there. Their person is about 40, right? So they would have grown up with the movies and they like the prequels and stuff. And then they got to, and like he goes, the Mandalorian had me that first season. Like they had me the first season. And the second season, like he was like, not that I didn't like it, but like I felt like it lost a bit of its spark compared to the first season, you know? And I know a lot of people disagree. I'm not saying this, what somebody else said. And they go, and like the Boba Fett one was just corny and I couldn't get into it. And then he goes, but I'm like an Andor, you know, I'm like an Andor. Andor's got some grit to it and I appreciate it, you know, but they didn't like the new movies that much, you know, stuff like that.
And I get that. Like, here's the deal. I love all three of those movies.
Yeah.
I
haven't watched them in a long time, though, I'll tell you that much.
In varying degrees. I have the hardest time wanting to rewatch The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
And it's just, it is what it is. But I still love the movie.
Speaking of loving movies, like, I love The Last Jedi, but it's my, like if I were to pick one of the new ones to watch, it would probably be The Force Awakens or The Rise of Skywalker for me, because I think they're more fun. You know what I mean? Those movies themselves, mm-hmm. especially The Force Awakens. And if my kids were ever going to pick a movie, a Star Wars movie, it would probably be either one of the prequel movies or it would be, oh my God,
The Last Jedi, Force Awakens.
Force Awakens. Oh my god, my brain went blank. Yeah, The Force Awakens. I think it'd be what, or actually, what they probably would want to watch would be episode Mandalorian.
Yeah,
that's what they like the best.
Yeah. Well, Stella, she's kind of over it to an extent, but she would probably pick The Last Jedi because she loves porgs.
Yeah,
she's into adorable animals.
About Henry, does he still like it?
Oh yeah, but for him, like his big thing is Lego.
Yeah,
he'd rather watch any of the Lego content.
Yeah,
than any of the movies. Mm-hmm. And like right now, he's huge on Ninjago again.
That's cool.
But which works out great because, yeah, what happens with Henry is he'll get into things that are not a thing anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what's awesome? Harry Potter. I want all these Lego sets. Well, Henry, up until they re-released them for the anniversary a couple years ago, it's like
there's a shit ton of them now.
They're not in production. Getting these things costs $1 billion.
Yeah.
You know what I really like? This. Well, Henry, that you can't get that anymore. So, which by the way, he and I have been streaming the Lego Skywalker Saga, which has been a lot of fun.
You have cute streams of your kids. Yeah. Me and my kid, we'll do well together. We'll be having fun, and all of a sudden, like we both get shot, and we have the same reaction, which is, "Why, God, no!"
Yeah, I was pretty hot yesterday. There's in my stream, I found it and was like, "Should I take this down now? Nah, leave it?" Because I didn't get mad at Stella.
Yeah,
I was just like, "Come on, what are we doing? Is this the first time we've ever played this game?"
Well, or you'll get to hear me go, because he'll say he wants to play Minecraft with me, right? Uh-huh. And last time he asked, it was on stream, and I was like, "Buddy, you know how that goes." And he was like, "Do you really want to play that game with me? Because I don't think you really do." Because like we'll start playing, and he'll like, "Here's all this stuff. Take this stuff." I'm like, "Okay." I'm like, are we playing survival mode? He's like, "Yeah, but first let's travel over here in creative mode and then do survival and then do this." I'm like, "I feel like you're just cheating here. What are we doing? Are we doing the survival game or what are we doing? Like, there's a big difference." I'm like, "Do you want to build something? We'll build something." And he'll start building something. Like, we'll build like a little house. And he's like, "Okay, well, I think I'm done now." I'm like, "And then I'm going to go do this. You can do something else." I'm like, "Okay." I'm like,
yeah, Henry was wanting me to play Minecraft with him for a while, and I would join his world, and it was always creative, which was fine.
Yeah.
But we would build things, and I would really go all in on trying to build something complex, and then he would get bored and want to move on. And I'm like, "I'm not done. I've got carpenters coming later. Mm-hmm. I just got permits for the electrical. I'm going to need to. We can't finish
drywall's going in tomorrow, son." Like, really?
Yeah. And listen, I just handed the punch list to the plumbers. They're coming back. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he would get pissed because I would make jokes and talk about permits. Mm-hmm. And building codes. I'm like, "That's never going to pass inspection." "Stop it, dude." But listen, nobody's going to buy this house if there's a llama standing in the middle of it.
"Why do you keep spawning turtles in here? I'm trying to build stuff.
Where do you think their poop's going to go? And you know you'll get salmonella from them.
There's literally 40 turtles on the floor just in the way. Like, what are you doing?"
Ugh. Anyhow, yeah, I sort of... That lost its shine pretty quickly.
Yeah, but, I think Max and I have decided that Fortnite's our thing because I have a hard time staying engaged, and like I do the same thing like you with Minecraft. Like, I really want to like sit there and build something. Like, you know, like I really want to like pick a really cool spot and then build like something that I would like, you know. And then he's like, "Okay, this is cool." And then he'll just keep getting in my he'll keep going directly where I'm going. I'm like, "You can build over there." He's like, "Oh, okay, I'll go over there," and he'll start building, and he'll build a wall in like 3 seconds. And I'm like, "Okay." And then he'll come over, like, chopping up my area. I'm like, "You get out of my area, dude." Like, we're just bumping into each other. Like,
yeah. Yeah, listen, I bought this lot, and here's the fence line.
Yeah.
The code says that you can't build within 6 feet of this thing.
Yeah. Go build your fifth aquarium, okay?
Yeah. Dude, one thing I wish that they had in Minecraft is copy paste.
Oh.
Because like I was building a castle, and on each corner of my castle outer ramparts, I had this like tower structure I made.
Yeah.
And to get the number of blocks just right, I had to keep going back and looking at the other one and counting them and going back over. And it's like, if I could just copy this and move it over here and turn it the way it needed to be, ugh.
Especially in something like creative mode, you know what I mean? Like, I can get out of having that ability in the survival mode.
Right, yeah. I mean, because in creative mode, you can fly.
Yeah.
So something like that for Star Wars would be cool.
Yeah. Well, I think they have a Star Wars Minecraft thing.
Do they? They probably do.
I know they at least have something for Han Solo. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something else, but yeah, there's packs.
Now, the Fortnite Star Wars skins are really cool, but it would be cool if they had like Star Wars worlds.
Yeah.
I know there's a Rogue One custom one. I've got the code for it somewhere.
Oh, for a Fortnite world?
Uh-huh.
What, do you have to go on like some PC server and like whole people are in there or what?
There's a spot where you can go to enter a custom island code.
Oh.
It'll take you to it. And some, you know, it's like all this creator stuff.
Oh, that's right. So, duh.
Yeah. But my buddy Hawk, he turned me on to that. I'll have to go check out. He also told me there's a Doritos world. And he came back today with, it's kind of glitchy and pretty stupid.
Yeah, I went to a couple of those in a couple of those creator places, and they are kind of glitchy. And, you know, but they're also probably not getting much of the server bandwidth either. So.
Right. Yeah. Stella and I did one that was like escape each level, find your way through it. And there was literally no way through it.
Yeah.
It's like there was no exit. We looked in every square inch of the thing. But anyhow, enough about that.
Yeah.
Enough about that. Crap, what was I going to say?
I don't know. Rogue Squadron? Anything?
Yeah, probably, but I don't remember now. Don't remember. So while we were talking about Lego Star Wars, they did have like a DLC update, but all it is character packs. And one thing that they don't do a good job of, I will say, because it's a good game, the only bad thing about the Lego Skywalker Saga is that it's a lot of cutscenes and not a ton of gameplay on some of the story missions versus the original, they refer to it as the complete saga.
Yeah.
It was Lego Star Wars 1 and 2. Lego Star Wars 1 was 4, 5, and 6. Lego Star Wars 2 was 1, 2, and 3. And then Lego Star Wars 3 is the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
It's so hard. Oh my gosh, F that game.
The Clone Wars one?
Yes.
You know what? You know what has a lot of gameplay? The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Lego game. It had a ton of gameplay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when they release this DLC and it's just these character packs, you can buy them all at one time. Mm-hmm. And it will tell you what it includes. And it's just as an example, and I probably talked about this, it's $15, let's say. Here's what it includes. Two things that are $3 each. Well, why not just get those instead? Well, because what it really is it includes more than that. But they release it in a trickle over the course of a month. Uh-huh. And they don't explain that unless you just happen to know that that's what they're doing. Uh-huh. So you pay for the whole thing up front, and then they release two character packs, and then they release two character packs, and then they release two character packs. And so they have Andor, which is pretty cool. They have Kenobi, the series, Mandalorian Season 2, Book of Boba Fett. I can't remember what else, but it's neat. You know, it doesn't add it, like there's no story content. Yeah. It doesn't increase that. It's just more characters you can play as you run around and perform tasks.
Yeah.
But.
One thing I never get to mention, and it's probably because I text you about it, and I consider it out of my head. But my son finished the Mandalorian in one Lego set today.
Oh, cool!
Yeah, he did it all by himself. There was just one little spot where I had to just help him adjust a middle piece to get something on. But he did the rest. It's fairly complex. A lot of little pieces and stuff, He built it pretty quick, and he's pretty proud of it. It's like one of those things, because like I remember specifically like the last time I really helped him with Lego set, he was struggling with them, and now he just kind of gets it. And like It's the same thing with like, it's the same thing happened with reading, right? You know, one day they go to school struggling, and like by the end of that week, somehow like something snapped in their brain. They start figuring out, oh, this is how you read things. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And now my son's reading like complicated words and helping my daughter read and things like mm-hmm. that. And I'm just like, when did you become this little man? When did that happen?
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
So, you know, my family does, and shameless plug here, we do this Bluey podcast called Dinner with the Healers. And the episode that comes out, when you hear this, it will have come out the day before, mm-hmm. assuming you listen to it the day it releases. It's called Bike, and it's the episode where at the beginning, Bluey's trying to learn how to ride her bike, and she's so mad. It falls down, and she says, why can't I just get this straight away?
Yeah.
And while that's going on, she sees other littler kids struggling with tasks like getting up to the water fountain. That's what Bingo's doing. And then another dog, Muffin, can't get her backpack on. And another dog can't reach the monkey bars. Mm. And what's cool is that she wants to go help one of them. She wants to go help Bingo. And Bandit tells her, no, you just got to hold on a second and let her figure it out.
Yeah.
And that's what makes that victory so sweet. And then you realize that once that happens, it's hard to imagine why was it ever hard? Because now it's easy. And I think that phenomenon, especially when you watch it with kids, because the amount of things they're learning to do in the period of time they do it is pretty astounding.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing stuff. And I don't know, it's the accomplishments and what it does for them. It's a cute thing to see. And building something like that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
And one of the things Amanda and I talked about is how it's hard to sit back and watch them struggle. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's because it's selfish. You're helping them with their homework. And sometimes you just need it to be over.
Yeah.
I need for this to be done. The answer is 15.
Yeah. Come on. We've been staring at for 5 minutes. We got this.
But like I helped Henry with his times tables. He was having trouble with the threes. Mm. And so he came home just like super down on himself because it was timed. Mm. And you had, I think, 2 minutes to do all of the, like all the way up to times 12, I think it was. But they were randomized on the sheet.
Oh, even more. Wow. Yeah.
Because one of the things that I find for memorization of anything is writing it over and over. Classic way to memorize lyrics, write them by hand.
Yeah.
Over and over. But I helped drill him with him, man. And he encouragement to anybody really does a lot for him. Some people don't need that much patting on the back, but encouragement's good for people.
Oh yeah. I try really hard to give Max and Leia and Lily Lily's a strange little 4-year-old bird. I'm not really sure how to handle her. She's much different than the other two. And but Max and Leia really enjoy like everybody likes compliments. You know what I mean? Like they really enjoy being told they did a good job. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like it, you can see the boost of their spirit, their mood changes, and it's nice, you know.
Right.
Lily, like you did a really good job. She's like, whatever, loser. Like I got stuff to do.
I need your approval.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's
my bills.
Yeah. Feed me what I want to be fed, not what you want to feed me.
Yeah. I said I wanted macaroni and cheese. Apparently you've fallen deaf.
Dude, you want to hear some blasphemous things that my kids don't like? Like it's blasphemy that they don't like them. They don't like, none of them like grilled cheese. None of them like macaroni and cheese. My son won't eat cheeseburgers or hamburgers. My little girl won't eat cheese on her burgers. And like, it's bizarre town in here. It's bizarre town. Bizarre world on bizarre avenue. I don't know what's going on.
That's bonkers.
I'm macaroni and cheese. Like, are you kidding me? Grilled cheese? I can't tell you how many grilled cheeses I've had in my life, specifically from the ages of 1 to 12. Like, how many? There were so many grilled cheeses in that time.
I love grilled cheese.
Do you remember the memories, like going to like a grandparent's house, like whatever, and like they're like they got to watch you for the day or something, and then they're like, well, I don't really, you want a grilled cheese? And you're like, yeah. And they make like the best grilled cheese you've ever had in your life. It's got like two packs of like two singles of like Kraft American in there. And they've melted it just right. And you're just like, oh my God, grandma's house is the best.
So complete swerve here as we completely go off the rails. If anybody's still listening, one thing I was curious about, Christmas is going to be here. By the time you hear this, Christmas will be a week and a half away.
Yep.
Any Star Wars stuff going on for Christmas in the Cruiser household? Kids getting anything Star Wars?
No Star Wars gifts for the children. As you know, we buy Max a keyboard. I end up going with the one that used that's just tested. I did research on my own and looked into it, and I thought it was a really good one, and all the reviews really good. And just like you said, like as soon as I purchased it, like I start getting text messages from Sweetwater, like, hey, this is your guy, which is great. It wasn't Ryan. It was somebody else.
I'm heartbroken.
Sorry. But it arrived the next day because it's in Fort Wayne and I live in Indiana, so
right.
That was cool. But. You know, like Leia wants drawing stuff, and like she wants a camera, and she wants a sewing machine. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm like Rachel and I both aren't ready to let her have a sewing machine yet. She's an exceptionally clumsy girl. Like she's clumsy in the way that like do you need glasses?
Yeah.
But Doctor, no, her eyes are fine. Like, okay, well, maybe there's just depth perception. I don't know what's going on, but she's just like always stumbling and bumbling. So like, I just imagine her just getting a needle right through the finger.
Don't even talk about it.
I'm just saying that's why I see what happened. You know what I mean? So I'm worried about that.
My kids aren't getting any Star Wars stuff, at least not that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And that bums me out a little bit, but at the same time, I get it. I suspect they've got me Star Wars things just because mm-hmm. that's like the default.
Yeah.
Dad likes Star Wars crap.
Yeah.
And I've made it very clear what I am interested in and what I'm not interested in right now.
Yeah.
Just because the last thing I need is more stuff of a particular type. Like one of the nice things I did is went into Hasbro Pulse and was like, cancel, cancel, cancel.
Good job, big man.
Cancel. I've still got this Hot Toys Luke Skywalker from Mandalorian Season 2 on pre-order that I'm very tempted to cancel. And every time I hop over there to go do it, I look at it and think that is actually pretty baller.
Yeah.
But it's only baller if you set it up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't include this on who got what because technically I don't have it. I have it in my possession, but I asked Amanda, do you want to just give this to me for Christmas? Because I pre-ordered it forever ago. And then because of COVID, it just, everything ground to a halt.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll talk about it once I actually have it in hand after Christmas. But yeah, I'm pretty stoked on that.
Nice.
But I figured that'd help Amanda. We've hit that point where we're trying to not spend as much money on each other.
Yeah.
And so it's like, here, I put the shit in the Amazon cart that I want you to get me. It's like perfect.
we record the day after Christmas if we get, which is my mom's birthday, so it might be a problem. So we'll be able to we'll have a fresh take of what we just got on Christmas.
Yeah.
Next day.
Well, cool, man. Well, don't worry. We'll have another episode in between now and then.
Maybe. So
don't worry, people. Yeah, maybe. Who knows what'll happen?
304 was our last one.
Yeah. So listen, guys. I think that's as good a time as any to say this. Be sure to check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators, where just for a few dollars a month, you get some great, great, great bonus content.
Indeed.
It's very, very good. A lot of positive vibes on the whole Chris Hall and Justice for All episode. I was very pleased about that. Check out TeePublic and Redbubble, where you can get shirts that you can wear to Taylor Swift Eras Tour this coming summer. So you should get that. And follow the show on Twitter @bad_motivators. Be sure to check out Cruiser streaming on Twitch every day, and then me some days. And yeah. There's nothing left to say except this. Sweet man, Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye.
The bad motivators.